We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, BronxPinstripes.com proudly brings to you the most exciting Yankees podcast in the world, George's Box.
All the dramatic things I've ever seen. George's Box. Goodness gracious.
Welcome back to George's Box. I'm JJ.
I'm Dan.
Because Nick is sick as shit, and it is a bad day to be a Yankee fan unless you love Luis Severino, because he's pitched once in like 4 years. So yeah, Nick is sick. It was his bachelor party. In positive news, he got out of a cast. He got into the walking boot. Didn't have to go to a second opinion. Went, had a bachelor party this weekend, texted me, told me he's got strep this morning, and he can hardly talk. So that's a shot for you, Dan.
Yeah, it's not a good time to get sick with anything, really. So at least it's only strep.
Well, it's strep in his mind as of this morning. I think he's still got to go, you know, get tested and everything. But it's probably strep. Hopefully. You could tell. Have you ever had strep?
I got it 8 times my sophomore year of high school.
Let's fucking go.
My mom got a letter that said if I missed any more days of school, she would get arrested.
8 times? That's great. I mean, over the course of a school year, I mean, that's once a month.
Yeah, I was doing a lot of macking.
Yeah, was that what it was? Just like a lot of kissing?
No, I have no idea what it was. I think, I don't know.
I get strep every other year, like 2 or 3 times. So like I know for a fact, like this winter I'm going to have it like 2 or 3 times.
I haven't had it since then.
Yeah, no, so I've like my whole life gotten it to the point where I've gone in. I go to the doctor when I get it and I tell them I have strep and they're like, you don't, like, we'll run the test and the test will come up negative. And then I've had to go back like 2 days later and the test is positive. I'm like, I know, you know, I've also gone into the doctor with strep and I've had a doctor say, like, I can smell the strep on you. Like, because you just like emit that like streppy taste out of your mouth. It's so bad. I'm hoping to get my tonsils removed this spring. They stop.
Is that what causes it?
Yeah, like it's strep tonsillitis. It's like the same thing. I get my tonsils get really inflamed. I also have that dangly thing in your back of your throat. I have 2 of them.
What?
Like, yeah, your uvula, mine goes down and splits.
That's, how many people in the world have that? That's got to be,
I don't know, double uvula? We could Google it.
Double uvula. Well, while you're looking that up, I got a question.
Okay.
Would you rather get strep tested every day or COVID tested every day?
I would take the COVID because yeah. I have a bad gag reflex. I wouldn't last exactly. Very long in prison at all. Like, It's not good. It's also known as a cleft uvula. How many people have it? Complications. What are complications? No complications. In some cases, though, it's with certain health complications. I don't know. I'm one out of every 76 people. So it's really not that rare.
No.
Yeah. I've never met another person who's had it though, and I've met
I've never even heard of it.
People. Yeah, I so yeah, so they didn't do like they used to remove tonsils, and then you, when you hit a certain age, and that's when I started getting strep. They don't do it anymore for like once you're considered like an adult, because the amount of bleeding, your body doesn't stop bleeding as easily. And then like 2 years ago, I went to the doctor for it, and they were like, "Oh, we started doing it for adults again." And so I have like mild sleep apnea, but if you do that, it helps you breathe more, helps your metabolism. I'll lose like 15 pounds just by getting my tonsils out.
Oh, maybe I should do that.
Eat ice cream for a week, you know? So we'll see. But yeah, so here's what I think happened. I don't think Nick has COVID. But Nick was, I forget where you said it was. I think it was Wall, is right by Manasquan. And he went, he probably went out in Manasquan or in that hour, Belmar, all that. And I, on TikTok, I see young people having fun. And all summer, though, it's been like the Manasquan or Belmar flu. Like people are going, especially once Memorial Day started, people go, they come back and they're like, I am sick all week and I get better about Thursday. And I go and I, it happens again. But they're all testing negative for COVID. So it's not COVID. It's just like something that all these Italians are passing to each other down there, fist bumping.
Yeah, so we have something like that, but it's when you go to Tallahassee.
Yeah.
Because they don't, they call it Tallanasty for a reason.
My sister lived there and met her husband for a number of years. She went to Florida State. I just learned last week, Tallahassee is the capital of Florida because it's equidistant between Panama City and Jacksonville. And that's why
I would
Panama City and Jacksonville both wanted to be the capital, and Tallahassee was picked because it's in the middle. Because there was nothing in like southern Florida at the time. There's a swamp.
Oh, yeah, I was gonna say because it's like 8 hours from Miami.
Yeah, so Miami wasn't even like really a thing yet.
Oh,
so yeah, it became a state. There you go. Fun Florida facts. Do you know where Brian Laundrie is?
No, I've been looking for him though.
Right. I feel like. It's like an episode of Dexter. Did you watch Dexter?
Oh, yeah. It's
like
crazy.
This guy, like, hey, you're a killer. You're never getting found. You're in the Bay. Bay Harbor Butcher. So you're going to fill in for Nick. Like, we're going to talk about this Yankee team. I'd rather talk about strep. I'd rather have strep, probably, than talk about this team right now. But I want to give people a little bit of framing. Because everyone knows I'm an old man, 36-year-old, fucking angry at the world. And the Yankees. You are a super senior in college.
Yes.
So what are you, 23?
22.
22. Lived your whole life in Tallahassee?
No, Jacksonville.
Jacksonville, whatever, one of them. Yeah. Did you like Urban Meyer's little like message that they're going to flip this thing around?
No, that was so stupid.
He's got a lot.
Just win some football games.
He's got a lot of pictures in his house.
Yeah.
Why are you a Yankee fan?
So my dad's whole side of the family is from Toms River, New Jersey, closest White Castle to Philly.
Yep.
But they're like diehard Yankees fans, and then I, you know, just generational, got passed down.
Yeah.
So
makes sense. I'm not a gatekeeper of like Yankee fans. Like there are some people who are like, well, you know, da da da. I won't take shit from people from like other places. When people think like they're from the Bronx because they had like three chopped cheeses, that's not going to do it for me. But like if you were just raised on the Yankees, more power to you. And I often I offer like amnesties, you know, for like Met fans. Like, hey, you're an adult now. You can make a decision. You can get away from your abusive family. Come on over. So is that why so does your grandma listen to this because she's a Yankee fan or because you just are on this?
So that's actually a different side of the family.
Okay. So she's not a Yankee
they're
fan.
I think they like – she's from Connecticut, so I think they rooted for the Yankees, but like not – my other side of the family is like everyone's diehard. Like my aunt, like she went to the Derek Jeter's final game. She was at his Hall of Fame thing this week – or what last week. So they're like diehards.
Gotcha. Yeah. Gotcha. Did your grandma start her road trip yet to Connecticut?
No, they canceled it.
Fuck. I was going to say, if she needs like a cup of coffee on the way, exit 2 on the turnpike, I got an espresso. And the pool's still open till Wednesday. Okay. Who is, so you're 22 years old. So that, so you were 10 when we last won the World Series.
Yeah.
So who is your favorite Yankee?
Okay. So this is weird. I don't know how many people's favorite Yankee is this, but my favorite Yankee is Mark Teixeira.
No, that's not weird. That's okay, like,
everyone says Jeter, but it was Mark Teixeira for me.
Well, because you didn't get, like, if you said yours was Jeter, I would have asked for the next one because, like, that doesn't, like, you can love Derek. You can be like, yeah, Derek Jeter is my favorite Yankee of all time because of all you know about Derek Jeter. But, like, you didn't really experience a lot of, like, great Jeter.
No.
So, yeah, no, Tex being your guy makes sense. You know, Gold Glove first baseman. Made a lot of money won a World Series.
I picked 25 for, like, when I grew up playing baseball, I'd always wear 25, so.
Okay.
For him, so I was like, yeah.
So that makes sense. All right, so let's talk about this fucking team. We suck. Now, I'm obviously angry because it's been so long for a World Series. Obviously, it's been the same amount of time for each of us, but, like, you went through middle school, high school, and now college without a World Series. I've gone through, like, I've got to start paying taxes. I owe money on taxes. I've gone through breakups. I've gone through children. Like, I've been through a lot, and I need this, like, a lot of those things are very happy things, not the taxes, but I need that joy. Like, how do you feel as a Yankees fan who saw World Series when he was 10 that maybe your parents let you stay up late to watch the rest of the game. But, like, the Yankees won in 96. I was 11 years old. And I, you know, I got to wake up to watch Charlie Hayes. But, like, I had to be in bed already. So, like, where are you as, like, a Yankee fan and your feelings having not lived through the dynasties? And really, you saw one as a child, but 27 rings, bro. You know?
Yeah. So I was 10 when I saw a World Series. So the Yankees, even though we haven't won the World Series, you know, we've been in the playoffs pretty consistently for the last 11 years now. And being a fan of the Jaguars and Florida State football as well, I don't get to enjoy a lot of sports victories.
Okay.
So really the Yankees are the good thing in my life, even though we haven't been to the World Series or won another World Series. At least we're in the playoffs, and that gives me something to live for. But now this team, like this year, like, I have nothing.
So, like, before this season, like, low-level marks were the highlights of your sports fandom.
Yes.
Because, yeah, you probably haven't seen when was the last time Florida State won a national championship?
2013. Jameis Winston.
Oh, yeah.
Over Auburn.
And so you were like 14 then.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then the Jaguars
They were in the AFC Championship 2017, but that was a fluke year.
They were there with fucking Bortles, all right? They were hardly
there.
That's
my guy. Bortles is my guy.
The boat. Boat. And then do you have like hockey? Like, are you a Lightning fan?
No, I root for the Devils, so.
Oh, okay. Martin Brodeur. Is that's another family thing?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, because it's always, like, interesting to me, especially on, you know, the online personas of people who, like, do what we do, who are like, we're the fucking best. And it's like, you actually haven't seen the best. You don't know what the best is. Like, you haven't seen it. I haven't seen it in a long time, but, like, I've seen it. I've felt it. Yeah, because it's just like, this season has just been so embarrassing. So, obviously, we got together last week. We had beaten the Twins, and it was like, let's see what we do. We've got the Orioles. We've got to sweep them 2 out of 3. We've got the Indians 1 out of 3. Now we've got the Rangers, and I was on ESPN Syracuse earlier today talking about it. Right now, and we'll talk about what we need to do and all this stuff, gut feeling, are the New York Yankees in the playoffs at the end of the season?
Well, I think we have one series left versus Toronto and one series versus Boston left. And right now, I I want to say yes, but it just there. It's just a constant nosedive. So I don't know how they go back, get back up, and continue to keep pace with Toronto and Boston, who seem to only be heating up right now, and Athletics too, for that matter. So, like, out of those four teams, like, I see us right now as the fourth team. It's like it's going to be those three teams fighting for the spot, not us.
Yeah, I mean, we've got like we have to sweep the Rangers. Right now, I do not believe the Yankees will make the playoffs. I think that we won't sweep the Rangers because now we've got a must-win every game series. And as fun as he's been, you know, we're going Cortez today. That, you know, the carriage can turn back into a pumpkin at any time with him. Mm-hmm. I don't remember the rest of the rotation for the rest of the series, but like we don't have Cole in the mix. Cole's not coming back until Friday. Got booed off the field yesterday. And so like heading into this week, I just don't see it happening. Obviously, if we won every game the rest of the season, we control our own destiny. We're in the playoffs. We're probably hosting a game. But I've got no signs that that's something that they're going to do. As a younger fan, what are your thoughts and feelings on Gary Sanchez?
So, I growing up, I caught a lot.
Okay.
And I'm assuming we're talking about missing the ball.
Just in general, like or it's always
just
like
in general.
In general, how do you feel about him? But like, feel free dive into any of those areas.
So, as a person who's caught and before, I sort of thought Gary Sanchez may have gotten crossed up on that one instance where the ball got passed against the Orioles.
Okay,
I thought maybe he got crossed up, but either way, like he still has to catch that ball. And all of my friends who they're fans of different teams, they're like, oh, Gary Sanchez sucks. He's so lazy. And I used to defend Gary Sanchez. But like after this, it's like you can't defend him because he is lazy and he is a bad defender now. So it's just like there's no defending him.
Yeah, I mean, I think like when you see the Tuesday and Wednesday game and we go out there and, you know, Tuesday, we win 7-2. So that's nice. We win on Wednesday 4-3. And, you know, we're trying to battle on Thursday for a 2-1 win. And I think those two games are a great example of, like, what has really been wrong with this team. Because even when we won 13 in a row, we're winning one-run games. We're in the most one-run games of any team in the league. And with that and the pitching, especially pitching injuries in the bullpen and some of the ineffectiveness in the bullpen, you're not setting yourself up to be successful in the long run if you can't, especially with the lineup we have, blow some teams out. You know, as I'm looking at just like the calendar in front of me and seeing some of the games, even like our wins are all one-run wins. So you're not helping the team out at all. But that Thursday night loss, I was sitting in bed with it on and I was watching and I just said, holy shit, we're about to blow this game right before the wild pitch. And for like, there's a lot of Gary defenders out there because I think people get attached. And that's why I asked, like, what do you view of him? Because as you're coming, you know, to a certain extent, like of age of like, I can invest my own thoughts and time and finances into the game. He is, you know, he was one of the like prominent parts of the future. And, like, that was the most fitting way that we can lose a game. It shows exactly, you know, we have a guy pitching who shouldn't be in that position, shouldn't have to be in that position. Like, Clay Holmes should not be in a game in the ninth inning, the end of September, in a one-run game in the rain. And a lot of Gary defenders jumped down my throat. You know, that was a wild pitch. That wasn't a pass ball. That's not on Gary. You're a Teixeira guy. If Jeter threw one in the dirt over to Teixeira and it gets away, that's an error on Jeter. But the difference, what made Teixeira special at first base, was he catches that ball. So if you're going to be an elite catcher, you have to catch that pitch. If you're a decent catcher, you have to catch that pitch. And his offensive numbers don't carry to any other position. I said this last week too. It just doesn't carry anywhere else. And now we've watched him cost us that game. And then, yeah, we weren't going to win the game on Saturday because we didn't lose the game because he dropped that pop-up. But at a point where we are fighting for a playoff spot, or we're supposed to be fighting for a playoff spot, you can't have – you can't give extra outs. I don't care if it's a one-run game or an eight-run game. It's bad morale. It's bad for the team. It's a bad experience for fans. It's just bad. It's just bad.
Yeah, and I don't get why after that play, why is he not like immediately benched? I go back
to the Met game when you know in a 8-day span, he had three. These are the easiest defensive plays. We're not talking about, hey, he made a great play, pick, barehanding, spinning, and firing the first base on a bunt. I'm talking about a pop-up straight up. I'm talking a pitch a little further than outside. And I'm talking about standing in place. And it goes back to what I complained about last week. I've complained about a bunch of Aaron Boone. Like you said, how do you not pull the guy there? How many times do you let a guy embarrass you? How many times, if you're Aaron Boone, are you going to let Gary Sanchez fuck your wife before you say something about it? I'm sorry, Grandma Patricia. I shouldn't use that language.
Yeah. Well, so WAR is wins above replacement. I wish there was a stat that was like losses above replacement, because I would love to see how many losses or what Gary Sanchez's losses above replacement would be, or below replacement.
Yeah.
Because it seems that...
I mean, I think there will be... I think Neil Keefe is going to do it, because I mentioned it on this podcast. I talked to him. When the season's over, I think he's going to do a blog, Keefe to the City. Keefe is K-E-E-F-E to the city. He'll probably have it there. How many games did Aaron Boone cost us? Because even in that loss to the Orioles, it comes down to coaching. And I get it. They're not instructional at the major league level. But when you've got the bases loaded, one out, why would you have the infield in? The odds are much higher. That base hit that won the game had an expected batting average of 100. That is two steps to the left for DJ, second to first. We're out of that inning. We're still battling in the 11th, but Boone's got the infield in, and no one, you know, so you got to blame the whole coaching staff.
Yeah, it just, a lot of it doesn't make sense. I mean, I don't know how, compared to other teams, how analytical the Yankees are, but whoever's doing their analytics is just awful. I don't know if it's Boone just making these decisions without looking at anything.
Like, that's not even an analytical decision in my mind. That's just knowing baseball. It's like you're more likely to get that double play by having the defense at double play depth than on a hot shot on wet grass. Your third baseman's going to come up with that, throw a guy out at first. Gary, who hasn't caught a ball in 3 years, is going to now catch and turn that ball to first. I don't see it happening.
Well, do you even trust, with how the infield's been performing lately, do you even trust him to turn that double play with all the errors that have been happening?
I mean, I don't trust him to do anything. But, you know, it's the best position that you can put yourself in. So, you know, Gary's definitely cost us games. Gleyber got demoted to second base. It's got to be tough to be the shortstop or the center fielder for the New York Yankees, and then you're not. Like, they're iconic positions. It's the dream. And you just get moved over to second base, but then you're still making errors. You're still, like, double play balls, you're just throwing the first. Like, there is a total lack of accountability. And again, I get it. Like, maybe Boone, you know, he thinks this is the only thing that's going to keep me in contention. But Glaber's another guy who, you know, he responded to a talking to earlier in the season. I think that's a guy that, you know, if you pull for not knowing how many outs there were and stuff, you maybe get more of him the next day.
Yeah, and then Glaber, for me, when you're talking about, you know, this as a younger Yankees fan and this kind of generation of my players that are here, so Glaber was my guy out of the whole group.
Okay.
Like, I have his jersey. The name on the back will be undisclosed if it's there or not.
Fuck.
We'll see.
Fuck.
But watching Glaber's regression has just been, like, so, like, sad to see, because I like, he was definitely my favorite player out of that group, and just seeing him become so, like, so many errors and just not even looking anywhere near comfortable in the batting box, it just sucks to see, because he was so good, and it seemed like we really fleeced the Cubs in that trade, getting Glaber for them to get Chapman on that rental. So that just sucks so much to see.
Wait, you're a Mark Teixeira guy, favorite Yankee.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a Gleyber Torres jersey with the name on the back?
Yeah, from China.
Oh, okay.
I got a Teixeira jersey, though, without the name, so it just might not fit me anymore.
Gotcha. Okay. You were a kid. You were a kid. Yeah. Okay. The China jersey. I get it.
It's the best.
I've never gotten one. I'm done.
Bucks.
But doesn't it take like 8 weeks to get there?
No, you got to use a certain site.
I'm thinking about getting like AirPods off DHgate. I saw that on TikTok too. I get most of my information off TikTok nowadays.
Smart.
Yeah, I went to, like, I had the whole thing. I was ready to check out, but they don't take Amex, and that's what I have saved in my computer where I can just, like, fingerprint it, and they don't have PayPal, and I didn't want to go get my wallet. So they send you, like, 8 follow-up emails, like, hey, this is still in your like, fucking cart. Come on back and get these fake AirPods.
Oh, everyone posts a thing where they, like, scan the serial code, and it ends up, like, being real. On Apple, so I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I saw on TikTok, I saw a bunch of people, like, review them, and they're like, yeah, no, these work great, so maybe I'll get them. I'll bring my wallet to my desk tomorrow, maybe, and we'll see.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
So another thing that happened this week is obviously yesterday, you know, we stunk the joint out and Cole got booed. Now, I know Twitter is where I do a lot of my interactions with people. I look at the Bronx Pinstripes like Facebook page where there's like Bronx Pinstripe Show Facebook group and whatever, and I see some people in there. There's some dumb people in there, like, throwing out some fucking really stupid ideas. But I think like a lot of stupidity, you know, can be the echo chamber of Twitter, and it doesn't always carry over to the stadium. But booing Gerrit Cole is insanity to me. The guy gave up 7 runs in 5 2/3 innings. Any other situation, if we were 8 games up in first place and he went out there and had that same stuff, we just pull him early. You know, hey, he just didn't have it today. The only reason we're in contention is Stanton, Judge, and Cole. I mean, they've really, like, Cole's carried this team at times. And for people to go out and, like, boo him coming off the mound because he didn't have it one day, I think it's a lot of the frustration of the season in general. And I think he'll let it, you know, roll off his back. But, you know, that's like booing Stanton for going 0-5 on opening day. It's just like, it's a bit much, and it doesn't really make a ton of sense.
So I wasn't actually at the game, or I couldn't watch the game because I was at the Jaguars game. All right. So I was looking on my phone. I was looking at my phone, and I saw the score, you know, 1-0 Indians, getting the notification. So eventually I stopped looking. But when I saw that Cole got booed, I was, like, so confused because, like, there's no way this would happen. They're like, who would boo Garrett Cole?
And we've got him for, like, for so many more years, too. It's not like, yeah, hey, we're booing you on the way out.
Yeah, and so Jaguars fans, we've had the worst quarterback play in NFL history the past few years. And I've booed Blake Bortles and Chad Henne and whoever else. We boo those guys. But Trevor Lawrence on Sunday threw two interceptions. Not a single boo to be heard because that's Trevor Lawrence. Like, he's the savior. Garrett Cole's the Yankee savior too right now. And so I just think it's messed up that the fans are booing him.
Yeah, I just, like, I get the emotion. You know, you brought your, I think it was Yankees Scooby-Doo bobblehead day. Probably a lot of kids out there, a lot of families. A lot of, you know, you're spending $1 million to bring your kids to the game and you get embarrassed. That sucks, but hopefully you're not booing in front of your kids. How often do you get to Yankee games? Like, how many times have you been to Yankee Stadium from, you know, Jacksonville?
So I've only been to Yankee Stadium twice. Okay. The new one.
Okay.
I think I went to the old one once when I was really young.
Yeah.
But I've only seen two Yankees games at Yankee Stadium.
And then you flew up to Philly this year with us. You go mm-hmm. to and you go to Tampa to see them and Atlanta.
I wanted to go. I didn't get to go to Atlanta this year. I wanted to, though.
Have you gone to see them when they've been in Atlanta?
No, never.
Have you been to that stadium?
No, that's why I wanted to go.
It's a cool stadium.
Really nice.
Yeah, it's a cool stadium. I've been hoping for a Yankees weekend series there since I went there in like 2019. I went on like a Tuesday by myself. Real cool stadium, real cool like area. I'd love a weekend series there. That'd be a great time.
Atlanta's great.
Yeah, I mean, I would
just the games were on like Monday, Tuesday.
Yeah, yeah, that's it sucks. We've got some injury updates. Where are you as like as a younger man, Luis Severino?
So back in 2017, I rescued a puppy, and I named him Sevy.
Like you went to like a shelter, or like you had a wild story like me?
I like went to a shelter and bought a puppy for $50 to adopt him, and I named him Sevy after Luis Severino.
Okay.
And then I think that happened around the same time that whenever he collapsed in the playoffs, right?
Anytime he's ever pitched in the playoffs. He's an awful playoff pitcher.
Yeah. I think it was right around there, and we ended up giving away the dog because we thought he was cursed. So
that's fucking terrible, man.
No, he was a very bad dog, and my parents didn't want him. I did it without telling them. So.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Where did you give him away?
And some older couple, my grandma's friends, actually.
Oh, okay. So you didn't like dump him at a shelter.
Okay. No. That would be terrible.
Some people do that, man. I mean, look at my dog. Like that was just a dog on the street that was going to die. Got some good feedback this week that, there's some interest in the publishing houses in New York for my kid's book. Imagine I wrote a kid's book. What a fucking idiot. Let's talk some injury updates because we're talking Sevy. So Sevy is activated today on Monday. We're recording this. It's like 6 o'clock right now. He's available to come in and pitch. He's got anywhere from 1 to 3 innings in him. And I just like, I have a hard time getting excited at this point in the season for that because I have anger still from him not getting this taken care of in 2019. He waited, missed most of the season. I think he pitched in like 3 games. was available for us in the playoffs. Fucking stunk. Stunk in the playoffs against the Astros. Misses all last year. Pretty much misses this year. Like, I don't care. He'll make maybe three appearances. Maybe he'll get seven innings under his belt. You know, there's people like, oh, he's back for the playoffs. It's the worst thing. I'd rather we had him all year and he got injured today. Kind of, you know, the other way around. So I just, you know, I see people so excited about it, and it's like, oh, we're looking for anything to be happy about. But, like, it's just tough to get ramped up. Like, to me, this is just get a little work in so you can properly set your off-season workout plans, in my mind. I'm not being a contributor.
I'm not too excited for him to – I mean, maybe he'll get in the game tonight, but I'm not getting up for it. I mean, I'm not going to get my hopes up because I feel like he'll probably end up getting shelled. I think all the reports are coming out from his starts in the minors that he was kind of getting rocked a little bit.
Yeah, they said he looked good the other day. He threw a sim game, and they were like, oh, he looked really good. He hit 95, looked sharp. But then I also see, like, Odor is going deep off you.
Yeah, so I'm not going to get my hopes up for it, you know. Yeah, you're totally right, though, about rather him getting pitch all year and then get injured now so he doesn't have to pitch in the playoffs.
And, like, and then so now we've also got Domingo Germán could be back. It's like all this pitching that we heard all year about is, like, kind of trickling in at this point. And, you know, obviously Domingo was up, he was down, he's had some good stuff with us this year, but now he's coming back. Tyone's going to make a rehab start for, you know, like, his ankle. So then they're saying, like, he could be back next week. Where it's like, we're really talking about, like, can we squeeze one start out of these guys? And we're really just, like, piecing it together. Loaisiga is supposed to throw. He took today off after throwing 3 days in a row. He's supposed to throw again and then maybe be available to us, like, late in the Boston series or in the Blue Jay series. And it's just, like, these are all the things that you would want to be happening if we were 8 games up in first place. Like, the boys are just getting a little bit of work. And to me, it's not like, oh, great, Seve's back. Oh, great, like, these guys are back. It's like, this is, like, what could have been? There's a big, like, we should have a totally different attitude, a totally different mental towards what is going on that, like, we're just not afforded at this point.
Do you think if somehow the Yankees do end up making the wild card game and winning that and going on into the playoffs, do you even want all these guys, like, coming back? Because do you think they'll even be, like, get enough reps in to be, like, counted on in the playoffs? Or do you think
they it's a concern? It's a concern because, you know, I've made all the jokes about when Aaron Hicks was told to shut it down and he was like, I'm back. And even though he hit that home run off Verlander, you know, I think it did throw off some of the chemistry. I mean, it's would I rather have Luis Severino in the bullpen than Brooks Kreisky? Yeah, obviously. But if we were to get to, and, you know, and we're recording this at 1.5 games back, we technically control our own destiny because we play Boston, we play Toronto. And technically, if we win every game for the rest of the year, then, you know, hey, we'd be there. We'd maybe even host a game. But the more likely situations are we don't make the playoffs. I think we've got a 28% chance of making the playoffs on FanGraphs now. And it was up. It was in, like, the, like, 80s, 90s. Like, it was high up there at one point. Don't quote me on that, though. It might have been in the 70s or 60s. I have no idea. But these guys coming in at this point, like, yeah, I guess I'd rather have them. But I think it's the same story. It's the same story we've always had is we're going to run – we'd run out of pitching anyway. And part of that is – one is I don't think we built a good enough rotation. I think the idea of Cole and Prey, and part of that praying is – two guys who missed all last year in Kluber and Tyone, and Germán, who missed all of last year and has his own off-field stuff. He's retired. He's unretired, all on his Instagram. And I'm hoping, I mean, Jordan Montgomery is turning into a nice little pitcher. He's got 73 career starts. I've said I don't consider him us developing a major league starter until he gives us 30 starts next year. You know, that'll get him over 100. And then, you know, we've brought along a major league caliber pitcher who's never made an all-star game, so it's not great. But, you know, then our last all-star that we fully developed and has made 100 starts, and Andy Pettit. So, you know, it goes back to, and it's not just the rotation, it's the lineup, because it's so feast or famine with home run or strikeout. It was so weighted right-handed that it was easy for teams to pitch through our lineup, and we never blew games out, so we never saved any of our pitchers. And it goes, you know, I've talked about it a billion times, and I'll talk about it more maybe next week. Maybe I'll really make a pitch the week after that. That I think organizationally we just need big changes. We need to see Aaron Boone and Brian Cashman lose their jobs.
So I know we'll get into the questions later, but kind of related to that, someone had asked that at the end of the season, if Aaron Boone gets fired, do you keep Matt Blake and Marcus Thames around, or are they gone as well?
No, Marcus Thames is gone. I think the only person who should keep their job on the coaching staff is Matt Blake right now, because Matt Blake, he's not Aaron Boone's guy. He's not, I don't even know that he's Cashman's guy. You know, it was like, this is the obvious like path to go. There was a lot of press around it, and he's done a really good job. Like, organizationally, we haven't developed pitching, but that's way before him. And with what he has done this year, like, he's gotten blood from a stone. I mean, Nestor Cortes Jr. is our, like, number two pitcher right now. He's kept us alive by finding ways to get innings out of non-conventional guys. He has struggled with the guys who he shouldn't have to coach. The Chapmans, the Britons, shouldn't have to coach those guys at all, and they get set in their ways on some things. But I think Britton is – I know he had surgery. I don't even know what the prognosis was. Like, he may miss all of next year, so it's not even an issue for us. But I think we're going to have closer to a regular offseason this year. You know, obviously he didn't get a full offseason because he got hired before 20 and things got weird. This year there's, you know, COVID, is the season going to happen? I mean, we're going to have some, is the season going to happen because of CBA this year. But I think giving him, you know, a somewhat normal offseason to do some things with some of these guys, with Herman having a pretty much a full season under him, having Seve be apparently back – I'd be very curious, and Tyone now getting a season after all the Tommy Johns getting a season under him. I would like to see what Matt Blake can do with a rotation of Cole, Seve, Tyone, Montgomery, Cortez, Herman.
Are you adding anyone in the offseason or no?
Well, glad you asked. I think the Yankees have to explore some trades, as I've said a billion times. I think our lineup is too home run or strikeout, with Voit, Judge, Stanton, and now adding Gallo. And Gallo has like the stiff neck or whatever, but I think he's fine. You've got four guys that are really home runner, but and Gary, if he sticks around, and I mean kind of Glaber too, you know, like, you see how many people, like, we're talking six guys who are home run. We don't have a shortstop. Gio Urshela is not our shortstop, and he shouldn't be. He's a great third baseman. There may be value in trading Gio Urshela. That may be where the value is. The tough thing is, like, I don't think the Yankees should give Gary Sanchez a contract. I think they should non-tender him. If he catches on somewhere else, whether it be as a DH, a first baseman, or someone can turn it around and make him a great catcher, great. But like, we clearly can't do that. It's almost like if you date someone who's got like a drinking problem, you try to get them to stop and, you know, and they can't, and you hit a point where you've got to walk away from the relationship because like it's unhealthy for you, but then they find recovery or whatever it is, like that, good for them. That's great, but it just wasn't going to work here. And I think the Gary Sanchez experiment clearly isn't working. So if we were to non-tender him, I mean, that's it. We also don't have money coming off the payroll. So Judge is going to get a raise. Gallo's going to get a raise. Glaber may still get a raise because they just give these guys little bits of raises. Voit may, you know, be getting a raise. It makes it really tough to, like, where's the money come from? We're almost at 210 by doing it. So I think if we can get a new GM in who could find value in other ways, I mean, it's tough to, it's aside from if you're going to say on paper, if you got to line up with the 2020 home run champion, Aaron Judge, Stanton, Joey Gallo, how do they not win the World Series? I mean, we're seeing that every day. I don't think we re-signed Rizzo, which is an issue, but there might be the value in trading Voit as well. I think the value that we can trade right now relies in it, the valuable players that would have value for other teams to possibly trade, and it's not a selling at the lowest, to me are Luke Voit, Gio Urshela, Aaron Judge, and I mean, maybe Jordan Montgomery, because like nobody wants Domingo Germán. Like, you'd have to sell low on him the same way we got Chapman, you know, domestic violence guy. I don't know how much of a shot Kluber's going to get from him. Like, Kluber, here's what's going to happen. Kluber's going to sign a $5 million. He got 11 this year. He's going to sign an $5 million deal next year and make 30 starts for the Red Sox.
Like, that's what shut us out every time.
Yeah, that's what'll happen. So yeah, I mean, there's a lot like to even comb through of like where he's going to go, but we don't have a ton of value trade guys. And then we've still got Miguel Andujar. We still have Clint Frazier. Clint Frazier's still a number five pick. I don't think you can just walk away. I think you try to get something, some minor league you know, prospects. But
yeah,
he's a literal head case because he's got vertigo.
Yeah, it feels bad. Feel really bad for him.
Yeah, I mean, he's a nice guy. I wanted everything to work out for him here. Maybe a change of scenery helps. But like, even when he wasn't playing well, like, you don't want a guy to go out injured. And I say, like, I don't care about like some of these guys and they have to get Tommy John, and it's just like, oh, you know, you're cheering for an injury. I've been cheering for David Price, Tommy John for forever. And it's different when it's like it's your day to day. Like, you get Tommy John, you can still live your life. Like, I don't even know if like Clint can drive a car.
I would assume not. Vertigo's pretty.
Yeah,
that's not fun.
No, not at all. Yeah, I mean, so I think it all, like, what happens to the Yankees? Like, you can't, if we run this same team out there again, we're fucked. But I don't see a lot of flexibility.
Next season?
Yeah, I don't see a lot of flexibility if we don't make like tremendous changes. And then even like if we were to change, like if you run the same roster out there with just a different manager and Cashman making the decisions and Hal saying, you're not giving me any reason to go over 210, and all of us on Twitter are going, oh, you know what, they didn't go over this year, so then it's reset and they can go over next year, when nobody has said that they're going to do that. There's been no indication that they're going to do that. They haven't proven that they're going to do that. They haven't done that in a long time. I don't think Hal's going to okay a 2009 spending spree unless he goes out and gets, like, we need a shortstop. Like, in all of this, like, there is no shortstop on the Yankees roster. And I love the kid, but it's not Andrew Velasquez. We also may have value at this point in trading Tyler Wade. Shockingly. I think there's more value for Tyler Wade than Gleyber Torres right now. You've got one guy who could play four positions and fucking bat 280. You got another guy who could play no positions and bat 260, but he hit a lot of home runs when the balls were juiced.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, are you still I know we talk about Corey Seager all the time on this podcast, but is he the shortstop of the New York Yankees next year? Or does that change your thoughts about the team as a whole?
I don't know. He's shortstop? You got to look at him from it. And he's not like a world-class defender. But like, I don't need a gold glove shortstop. I mean, I'm a Derek Jeter fan, so I know I don't need the best defensive player. I think the lefty bat would help the lineup. Having an actual shortstop with a World Series pedigree, I think could be really good for us. But the numbers just have to make sense, because after next season, you've got Judge and Gallo coming as free agents. And I mean, if for some reason they're like, fuck it, we're keeping Gary, that's three. Which they can't keep.
Hopefully
Gary.
They won't do it. Yeah, and hopefully they won't.
But like, we can't, there's not a team that has Giancarlo Stanton, Garrett Cole. See, I don't think they go Seager. I think you make a trade, whether it's like an Urshela, or even if you could flip Glaber for God knows what. But I think you find like a veteran shortstop who's going to be your shortstop for 1 to 2 years until Anthony Volpe is ready.
Yeah, like maybe someone like Freddie Galvis even, or
yeah. You go out there, you sign a 1 year deal. You do what we did with Didi, where we thought we were bridging the gap till the next everyday shortstop for the New York Yankees. It just didn't work out this time. And hopefully Volpe, you know, works out. But you know, I've seen some people say he doesn't necessarily project as a shortstop. I don't know, guys hit like 30 something home runs in the minor leagues. Like I'm fine to give him a shot.
Yeah, how old is Volpe?
He's young. He's a local guy, too.
Like Jason Dominguez younger, a little older than him.
No, I don't think Jason Dominguez even exists. I don't even think he's a real person. And Anthony Volpe is 20 years old. So, yeah.
Oh, wow. Similar.
Yeah. I mean, he was born in 2001.
That's ridiculous.
He was teammates with Jack Leiter in high school.
Really?
Yeah. Because, yeah, he's from Morristown, New Jersey.
Oh, okay. That so, was yeah. Like crazy high school team.
So that's like, but that's another guy. I mean, that'd be a cool story. Like, guy grew up being a Yankee fan, wanted to be a shortstop for the Yankees, become shortstop for the Yankees. That's Jeter. That works. It's like Velasquez that weighs more than 80 pounds.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Yeah. Yeah, so I mean, I don't know what they do, but we're not one player away. We're just not.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what everyone thought we were. Like, we got Cole because we were Cole away, but we weren't. And then, Gallo and Rizzo, it hasn't worked out. And I get it. There have been some bad breaks. Like, guys are supposed to play better than they have. I understand that. We have a certain amount of information that we have access to that makes us say these guys should play better. Brian Cashman has access to way more information than us. And if he can't make the determination that this is what's going to happen with these guys, I just don't think he can do the job anymore. Because for 1/3 of the salary, the Rays are doing it.
Yeah, I hate the Rays. You have no idea.
I can imagine being in Florida.
Everyone's a Rays fan. It's ridiculous.
So, yeah, I mean, I think we've got a big week ahead of us. We've got to sweep the Rangers. If we don't sweep the Rangers, I don't think we're really talking about anything else. Now, you do have, like, the Blue Jays are playing the Rays. The Red Sox are playing the Mets. But, like, the Blue Jays still play, like, 7 games against the Orioles this year. Like, they play us and the Orioles. So,
that's tough.
It's tough. It's going to work out for them.
What's a bigger series? Do you think the Red Sox series or the Blue Jays series? Which one's bigger?
The Blue Jays series may not matter by the time we get to it.
That's also true.
Like we can't go and like, so we need to sweep the Rangers. But like, mm-hmm. I still don't think that if we go and take 2 out of 3 from Boston and 2 out of 3 from Toronto, we've really done anything. Like, you've got to sweep one of those, I think. And so we'll see.
Oh, Toronto or Boston? Oh, my gosh.
Like, it depends where things like, it's one of those things where it's like none of it matters if we don't go out there and kick the shit out of the Rangers. That's like, those are have to win games. They're, I don't know if they're must win or can't lose, but they're one of them. And then when you look at where we are, you know, we're 2.5 behind Boston. In theory, if we just hold, you know, hold serve with them through their series, I think they're playing two against the Mets. The Mets fucking stink, but they beat us.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, if we sweep and they sweep, we're still two games back going into that series. And taking 2 out of 3, now we're one game back from them. Like, I'm tired of doing math. We didn't get this fucking roster for me to be doing math.
It's really going to suck on Wednesday after we sweep the Rangers and all of our hopes are high again.
Yeah. Oh, my God. The letdown. The letdown. I can't wait for it.
It's going to be brutal.
So I think you tweeted out. Unless I was going to do questions. Do you have anything else you wanted to talk about?
No, I just – this week I didn't really have chances to watch any of the games, but – in weightlifting, there's this thing called a deload week where you kind of you lift a little bit lighter than you normally do to let your muscles recover. So I kind of treated this week as a deload from the Yankees week. Okay. So I only watched one game, but I'm feeling really good. Like, my week was a lot better when I wasn't watching them play. So
yeah,
we should all take a deload week.
I've had about 3 deload weeks this season where it's like, because listen, I'm watching part of every game. You know, we got down like, you know, 6-0. I went in the pool yesterday. You know, I can't sit there and do that. I fucking hate this team and I will watch the game tonight. I think I've been thinking about it. If the Yankees win every game for the rest of the season, get into the playoffs and win the World Series, I'll still fucking hate this team.
Oh, no one hates the Yankees more than Yankees fans.
I will still hate every fucking player on this team so fucking much for what they
still
put me
at
through.
The parade, though.
For I won't, but I'll,
well,
I'll
actually, yeah.
Yeah. But I like it's one. It's just like an abusive relationship right now. Oh, and it's like, yeah, you're gonna take me on vacation. Like, yeah, you're gonna propose. Like, I'm gonna say yes to the ring. We're gonna get divorced. What do we got for questions?
You want some of these questions?
Yeah.
So my man Eric had asked this question about, he goes, do you have any explanation for the day-night splits? And what he's talking about is during day games, the Yankees are 21 and 32, but in night games, they're 62 and 35.
So I saw that. I was not aware of that. And he replied to his own tweet that like other like a lot of the other, it's not just like the wins and losses, like they are an absolutely atrocious team during the day and at night they light the world on fire. Like I don't know what the explanation. So here's a part of it is, oh wow, I'm having surgery on Thursday. And I was talking yesterday to my wife. I was like, yeah, I don't think I'm going to get any painkillers. And while we're doing this, I'm doing my like e-check-in. Oh, they're giving me pain pills.
Uh-oh.
Got a big weekend coming up. I'm going to wait. My wife's going to find this out on the podcast when she listens. Yeah, part of me wants to say that these guys are a little Hollywood. The bright lights, they're excited to be there. Hey, you know, we're ready to do it. But when it comes to fucking on a getaway day, and if you look at when we talk about the season, we talk about all the times they couldn't finish sweeps. Even, you know, we win 2 games and getaway day, we can't do it. They can't put their foot on people's throats. A lot of times, that's your getaway day is that Thursday day game, Wednesday day game, Sunday day game. And when it comes to doing that, when it comes to finishing the job, this team just doesn't have it. And I would point to that probably. Whatever it is that they fucking can't get it done, they're not motivated, I blame Boone. That's why we're seeing those stats in my mind.
All right, and then next up we got Fishy. He's wondering who's going to be the next manager of the Yankees and why.
So if the Marlins were to part ways with Don Mattingly, which I could see being possible, just like, hey, it's about time to make the change. Like, he's done a good job keeping things moving there for Jeter, but I could see that. I can see that being kind of the easy move.
Yeah.
But I could also see if you get rid of Cashman and you bring in Theo Epstein, then the next manager of the Yankees is going to be whoever the best person available, whoever the best fit is. Now, I don't know that Don Mattingly is the best fit, but it's the easy, hey, Donnie Baseball is available, so we get him. Fucking spike some 23 jersey sales. We just had the bobblehead day. Everyone's excited. I don't know that he's the best fit for this team, but it's the easy fit, and no one's really going to fight it. No. Whereas if you remove, let's remove all the fucking nostalgia. Let's put a tarp over the monuments. Let's not look at them. Let's bring in some gentleman, whether it's Theo Epstein or some young gun I don't necessarily know about, and let's, you know, make things happen for him. He'll find whoever the best, like, who is the bench coach or double A manager that we don't know about as regular people that is, you know, actually going to be the perfect person.
Yeah, that'd be really interesting to hear. I don't know if someone can tweet that at us or let us know, because it's going to be a fun offseason looking forward to reading up on all these coaches.
Yeah. You know, so we'll see.
All right, and then finally, Clive, he goes, what's your plans for October with no baseball?
Clive's my dude. Lives in Scotland.
Oh, very cool, Clive.
He lives in Scotland. I met him at the when we played in London. He got me, so they gave out, so for that, they gave to like local ambassadors or whatever, tickets to the workout day. Being here in the US, we didn't have access to them. So he got me in. So that was cool. Met him, nice guy. And then he came over for one of our like events. He came over for like a week and went to like three games. So Clive's the man. I mean, I'm probably just gonna like sink into a winter depression of sorts. I mean, I casually mentioned it. I don't talk about it a ton, but like I'm having another kid in the next like 2 weeks. So I've got that. I'll be pretty busy with that. There'd be a nice, you know, it'd be fun to watch games while I'm like half asleep, but it's not going to happen. I don't watch the rest of the playoffs. If the Yankees aren't in it, I go back to my like regular life. I will pretty much go right from like when the season's over, I will go right back into dog mode. Like as soon as the season's over, I'm going to go online and I'm going to offer up $5,000 to, I'm going to give $100 to 50 people to save 50 dogs and cats. So, like, that's the initial thing that I'm gonna do, and I'm working on this kid's book, so I'm just gonna like focus on that. I have an actual job, you know, but you know, that's pretty much what my focus is gonna be.
No pool though, closing it up.
Pool closes on Wednesday.
That's so weird to me because you know, Florida, it's pool all year round, baby.
Your electric bill's got to be a fucking nightmare year round.
I don't have a pool. I go to my neighbors.
Well, like, so my pool running it, I mean, it's like my electric bill goes up to like $700 a month. And I don't have.
Pools get shut down completely?
Yeah.
Like, I thought you just put the tarp over it.
Well, that's what I mean. Well, yeah, you turn it off. I have guys who are coming here on Wednesday. I don't know what they do because I've never gone through this. I had them come and open it. And they like open it and dump some shit in and they make sure everything is running. And then like 2 days later, I bring in a sample to the place and they tell me what other chemicals I need. And so I don't know what they do to like winterize or whatever. They did say that my heater wasn't shut down properly last year. So that's why it's broken. So I have to get that replaced in the off season. So yeah, I don't know what I'm going to do, but yeah, they have to take it down, and then I don't think they lower the water either. They just cover it up, maybe add something to it that's good for like the off season, and then they just shut everything down until probably next like April.
Oh, that's so far.
It is. It is. So I may. So, like, the sun's down now. Here's the issue. Right now, the pool is warmer than the air. So it's, like, 75 degrees out, but the pool's, like, almost 80 from, like, retaining the heat during the day. So if you're not underwater, it's cold. I may jump in tomorrow to just get, like, one last one. It's going to rain Wednesday. So we'll see. But it was sad. Like, I went in yesterday. Yeah. I was like... This is probably it, babe. This is the last time.
I'm getting sad for you.
Yeah, it's not a good time. But I've got, you know, this year was the first year in the house. So, like, I'm having a deck built in the winter. You get to start doing all the stuff that to make the house, like, what I want it to be.
I could have come built that deck for you.
Dude, you still can. I mean, no. I mean, you're not a company with, like, insurance and stuff. So.
Nah, I wouldn't get hurt.
I'm not worried about you getting hurt. I'm worried about someone getting hurt on this deck you built, and then I have no one to sue. That's the issue.
Eh.
So, yeah, I think that's all we got, right?
Yeah, my Chipotle's on the way, so.
Ooh, big dinner. Big dinner.
Chipotle. Oh, actually, real quick.
Yeah, dude, you can ask me HBO anything Max? You want. I do have HBO Max.
Okay, I just, you know, this week I bought a 65-inch TV and I just subscribed to HBO Max. So, big night tonight. Going to watch a movie.
Nice. Do your parents not have HBO and you can just steal that login?
No, so like our neighborhood that we live in, the HOA, they like give us like our TV plan or whatever, and it's just included in the HOA fee.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so we don't have HBO, but I saw that like all the new movies are on HBO Max, and like I've never seen Sopranos, so I'm gonna start watching that.
Yeah, do it. That comes out next week.
The movie. New one, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
For the movie.
Yeah, we have HBO Max because they have all the Sesame Streets. So we've got
no
kids.
Cocomelon.
Cocomelon is the fucking worst, dude. The songs don't even rhyme. Like the songs are all fucking terrible. My wife started putting that on. I was like, we can't do this. Like, this is, we got to go back to Sesame Street because the songs at least make sense. And it blows your kid's mind because it's all the same songs for like forever. And they're just like, yo, how do you fucking know this bop? Like, dad, how do you know this? Or like they send us videos from daycare. And so like they're doing the wheels on the bus at school. And then I go pick her up and then we're just like, did you do the wheels on the bus? And she's just like, yo, how the fuck you guys know about this? You guys know about this too? You guys are on to this? So
do your kids know about the Wiggles or no?
No, I don't. The Wiggles are the Australian people, right?
I don't know. They wear all the colors. They might be Australian.
Yeah, so there's a little bit of crossover. There's so on YouTube, you can there's also like just Elmo. Fucking or Sesame Street like compilations that you could put on. And so there are some Wiggle Sesame Street crossovers.
Oh, love the Wiggles. They had some bangers.
So are you a Blue's Clues kid?
Yeah, my first birthday. No, actually my first birthday was Big Bear in the Blue House.
So like when that video came out like last week of like Steve from Blue's Clues, like did that do anything for you?
No, I didn't even watch it.
Oh, okay.
I just saw all the memes and I was like, I missed it. Too late.
So, like, for me, everyone, like, that meant something to them. I'm way too old for Blue's Clues. But I was like, damn, like, I wish that meant something for me because it seemed to really hit a lot of people.
Oh, maybe I'll go watch it. Probably not.
I mean, it's like a 1 minute video on Twitter.
What's he just saying, like, bye? No, don't tell me. I'll just go watch it. Don't tell me.
Yeah. So yeah, I think that's all we got. Nick will be back if he survives. I mean, in theory, Nick may die this week. In theory, we all may, but I think he's a little closer to it than us because of the strep.
Better tell whoever makes a graphic to get my picture ready.
Right?
The new logo.
Dan, I appreciate you you filling in. I hope this was fun for you. Where can people follow you on Twitter?
Juicy99.
Juicy99, it's the best. You follow the show at George's Box Pod. You can follow me at JJ from the Bronx, talking that shit about how much I hate these motherfuckers. And, you know, talking about dogs in the very near future. So give us a follow. Follow the show, George's Box Pod, Juicy99, JJ from the Bronx. And who knows, maybe we'll win every game for the rest of the year, go to the playoffs, play like we've never played before. All you need, we don't even, you know, get a good 13-game win streak going. And we'll see you at the parade.